Welcome to episode 1276 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Few moments in life are as joyful as a wedding feast. The food, the music, the laughter, the coming together of families. It's a celebration of covenant love and new beginnings. In a parable in Matthew 22, Jesus takes that familiar joy and expands it beyond imagination.
The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son.
This story isn't just about a royal event. It's a portrait of salvation history. God is the king. Jesus is the son. And the great wedding feast is the eternal celebration of redemption, the union between Christ and his people. Every listener in Jesus' audience was being offered an invitation that would change their eternity. Yet, shockingly, many refused. This parable confronts us with one of life's most urgent questions. How do we respond to the invitation of God? Jesus tells this parable during his final week in Jerusalem, shortly after his triumphal entry and just days before his crucifixion. The religious leaders, chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees, have been challenging his authority. In response, Jesus tells a trilogy of parables, the two sons, the wicked tenants, and the wedding feast, that expose their hypocrisy and hard hearts. Each story builds in intensity. In the first, one son says yes, but doesn't obey. In the second, the tenants kill the owner's son to seize his vineyard. In this final parable, those invited to a royal wedding insult the king, attack his messengers, and are ultimately replaced by guests from the streets. It's clear, this isn't just about bad manners, it's about spiritual rebellion.
The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come.
A wedding in ancient Israel was an extravagant, days-long celebration. To be invited by a king was an incredible honor. Invitations in those days came in two stages, the first to announce the event and the second to say that the feast was ready. In this parable, the first invitation had already gone out, through the law, the prophets, and John the Baptist. The second invitation came through Jesus himself. But those invited, the religious elite, the leaders of Israel, refused. The king's response?
Then he sent more servants and said, "Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet."
His patience is remarkable. This isn't a short-tempered ruler. It's a father pleading for his children to come home.
But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business.
Others went further.
The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them.
It's a haunting summary of Israel's history. Prophets rejected, messengers persecuted, and finally, the son himself condemned. And yet, in this rejection, the story of salvation pivots. The feast will still go on, but the guest list is about to change.
The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city.
This image of destruction would have struck Jesus' listeners with terrifying clarity. In AD 70, roughly 40 years later, Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Romans. But even beyond that historical event, Jesus is revealing an eternal principle. God's patience is vast, but not endless. Grace is not an excuse for apathy. God's mercy always invites repentance. When his invitation is continually rejected, judgment is the natural outcome. Still, the king's purpose remains. The wedding must go on. The story now turns from judgment to breathtaking grace.
Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite anyone you find." So the servants went, and the wedding hall was filled with guests.
Here we see the explosive inclusivity of God's kingdom. The servants go out to the streets, gathering all they found, both bad and good. This is the turning point of the gospel story. From the exclusive call to Israel, to the open invitation for the world. The outsiders, the broken, the sinners, the marginalized, all are welcome. This is the heartbeat of Jesus's ministry. He ate with tax collectors. He healed lepers. He spoke to Samaritan women. He made room at the table for those who had no seat. The king doesn't lower his standards. He extends his mercy. The only qualification for entry is willingness to come. The same is true today. The king still sends invitations, through his word, through his church, through the quiet tug of the Holy Spirit. The question remains, will we respond? Just when the story seems to end in joy, Jesus adds a shocking twist.
But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes.
The king confronts him.
Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?
The man is speechless and is thrown out into darkness. At first glance, this seems harsh. The man was invited. Why punish him? But Jesus is pointing to a deeper truth. The invitation to the kingdom comes with a necessary transformation. In ancient culture, hosts often provided wedding garments for their guests. To refuse to wear one was not poverty, it was pride. The garment represents the righteousness of Christ, the new life we are given when we accept his invitation. We cannot come into God's kingdom clothed in our own self-righteousness or sin. The Apostle Paul says this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27.
For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ.
The man without the garment represents those who respond outwardly to God's call, but inwardly remain unchanged. They want the feast, but not the transformation. This is a sobering reminder. Grace is free, but it is not cheap. Salvation costs us nothing, but it demands everything. To be invited is mercy. To be transformed is obedience. Let's get deep. Jesus is the king's messenger and the bridegroom's friend. In this parable, Jesus is both messenger and meaning. He is the final invitation, the living embodiment of the king's call to humanity. He is also the bridegroom, the one whose joy and covenant are being celebrated. This dual role reveals his humility. The eternal Son came not as a distant deity, but as a servant bearing invitations of grace. His crucifixion was not a failure of the message. It was the ultimate expression of it. Every parable he told about weddings, banquets, and celebrations points toward the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the redeemed will finally join him in eternal joy. Jesus' kingdom is both inclusive and exclusive. The open invitation to all the streets reflects Jesus' radical inclusivity. Sinners, Gentiles, and the poor are welcomed. Yet the rejection of the man without proper attire reminds us the kingdom also has boundaries. Grace includes everyone who comes humbly. It excludes everyone who comes proudly. Jesus' ministry consistently walked this tension. He opened doors no one thought should be opened, but he also insisted that those who enter must be reborn, reclothed, and renewed. Jesus reveals God's heart for justice and joy. The king in this story is not coldly vindictive, but passionately involved. He wants his house filled with celebration. This is a God who delights in joy, laughter, and relationship. His justice protects that joy. It ensures that evil, hypocrisy, and indifference cannot corrupt the feast. In Jesus, we see this perfectly. Mercy extended to sinners, justice upheld at the cross, joy restored through resurrection. To live this parable, there are three invitations for us today. 1. Accept the invitation. Don't delay. The king's invitation is still being sent, through scripture, through sermons, through quiet moments of conviction. To ignore it is to risk missing the feast entirely. If you've never surrendered to Jesus, this is the moment. Say yes. Don't be too busy, too proud, or too self-assured. The feast is ready. 2. Wear the garment. This means more than outward religion. It means inward renewal. To put on Christ daily, as discussed in Romans 13:14, is to allow his character to shape ours. Forgiveness, humility, compassion, and obedience are the garments of grace. Ask yourself, am I wearing the garment the king has given me? Am I clothed in mercy and truth? Or am I still clinging to my old ways? 3. Extend the invitation. The king still wants his house full. We are now his messengers, sent to the highways and byways of our world. Who is waiting for your invitation? Who needs to hear that there's a seat at the table for them? Sharing the gospel isn't about pressure. It's about joy. When you've tasted the goodness of God's grace, you can't help but invite others to the feast. The parable ends with Jesus' solemn words.
For many are called, but few are chosen.
This is not fatalism. It's an invitation to awareness. The call goes out to all, but the chosen are those who respond in faith and humility. The feast is ready. The king is waiting. The garments are prepared. The only question left is, will you come? Father, we thank you for inviting us to the wedding feast of your Son. Clothe us in the righteousness of Christ. Make us worthy not by our works, but by your grace. Fill us with the joy of your salvation and send us out as messengers of your invitation. May your house be full, Lord, and may our hearts be ready. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.